Last week we looked at identity and we talked about how important it is that we know who we are on the inside, because at salvation there is such a dramatic change on the inside of us that it's not what we get, it's who we become that is so important for us to live victorious Christian lives. And so today I'm going to continue along that theme in a very interesting colour. And what we learnt last week, that it's very difficult to live in a way that's inconsistent what you feel about yourself. In essence, we live what we believe, not what we tell ourselves, not what we think we ought to, but actually those things on the inside of us that are our foundations in life, that's how we believe and that's how we outwork our lives. So no person can consistently live in a way which is inconsistent with how he sees himself. Okay, it's a bit of a mouthful, but I am going to keep repeating certain sayings because they are so powerful. And if you can get those on the inside, then actually it will change the way that we live. So we looked at our spiritual identity last week. We live how we believe. This is a really important one, and I know this impacted you last week, didn't it, Ellen? This saying, what you do doesn't determine who you are. Who you are determines what you do. And again, this is really key. If we can get the revelation of this going on the inside of us, our spiritual identity is based on what Jesus did on the cross and who we became because of, and we looked last week in depth about new birth, new identity, and a new title, the things that happen to us at salvation. We are a new species. Becoming Christian is not a matter of getting someone something, but of being someone. We were a sinner. Now we're a saint. And this is crucial to us, because if we live as if we were sinners, but now we're Christians, but we don't change the identity, we will always think of ourselves as sinners. And what do sinners do? They sin. But we have become new species, new creations. We are now saints. And a saint is a holy person. It's someone who's set apart for God. And that's each one of us when we come into a relationship with God through what Jesus did. So how we see ourselves is vital. What do saints do? They live for Jesus. A saint is a person who has been transformed by Jesus and all of that means. And we looked at that in detail last week. So basically at salvation, this is the time when we ask Jesus into our life. This is when we come to God and ask, say, I'm tired, I can't do this, I need you in my life, I surrender my life to you. And we do that through Jesus. We have a new birth, which is where Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus comes on the inside of us, where we've been separated from God, and we have that our spirit becomes alive to God. We have the new identity, we have the new title. We have a new family. We become children of God. The Bible says that we are adopted into God's family with everything that that means for us. We have a new life, which is now free from sin. Sin always remains, and we're going to look at that a little bit later on, but the power of sin is broken over your life the minute that you accept Jesus and you become a child of God. You get a new start. The slate, our slate is wiped clean as far as God is concerned. We have a new kingdom to live in. The Bible talks about living in the kingdom of darkness and being transported into a whole new kingdom, the kingdom of God's Son. And we get a chance to fulfill our destiny, to know God intimately and to rule our spheres of influence. Again, we looked at this in depth a bit more last week. It's not just about knowing God, but each one of us, we have a destiny. We were created in eternity as a spirit in the heart of God, with a purpose, a plan, and a destiny. And coming into a relationship with God means we can start to outwork that. We can start to outwork our destiny. And that we know that our job is partly to rule the world, to bring righteousness, to bring justice, to see heaven transform earth and bring it back to how God intended it to be. If we don't know who we are, we don't do this. If we don't know our identity, life is a struggle, and there are many Christians who live defeated lives, but we have more than conquerors. We are royal priesthood. We are sons of God, and we need to take hold of this in order to fulfill our destiny. We come into an inheritance because we're joint heirs with Jesus, and all of that means. If you have a relative that dies and you go to a reading of the will, and they say, oh, you have this incredible inheritance, you have £1 million, you have 3 houses, whatever it might be, lots of boats. And you say, thank you very much, and you turn around and you walk out of the office, but you don't take hold of the inheritance, what good is it for you? And as Christians, we have an incredible inheritance, and we need to know what it is so that we can take hold of it, live it in our own lives, and make a difference in the world around us. But we are on a journey. This just doesn't happen like, bing, it's not a magic wand. It's a journey. We enter a journey with Jesus and with God. It's fluid. It's ongoing. And we need to pursue it. Otherwise, it falls away. And we've seen so many people, and I've been there myself, and if you're not pursuing God, then you're not moving forward. You can't just stay in the status quo, because it's a relationship. And for that relationship, we need to invest our time and receive what God's heart is for us. So today we're going to talk a little bit more about it, and we're going to look a little bit more about what actually happens, what's done, what's God's part, what's our part, how does it work out? And the thing that we have to understand is we have an enemy. We are victorious. We are more than conquerors. Jesus did everything necessary for us to inherit our destiny. But we have an enemy, and his name is Satan, and his job is to rob, kill, and destroy. And we looked at last week about what happened in the Garden of Eden. We looked at how ever since then we've all been affected by sin. And his job is now, the minute you got saved, he lost you forever. The minute we become Christians, he's lost us. But if he can trick us and deceive us into thinking that's not true, and if we still give him access in our lives, then he will knock us off track. So we need to acknowledge that, not be scared of it, because we have the victory. The Bible says Satan is under our feet. But we need to know it in the inside in order for us to live in victory in it. So we're going to read this. Can you see that? It's a bit tricky, isn't it? So Romans 17, it's quite a lot, but I really want you, even if you want to close your eyes and I'll read it to you. It says, I'm full of myself, after all. I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realise that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. Anyone relate to that? My decisions, such as they are, don't result in action. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? Sounds a bit hopeless, doesn't it? Then it says, the answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. I guess we can all relate to that one. So it seems like there's a bit of a battle that goes on the inside of us. And this has been equated to, there's an illustration, it's a very well-known illustration of two dogs that you feel like on the inside of you, and there's a big black dog and there's a big white dog. And depending which one you feed has control of you at any particular point in time. Obviously the big black dog will say, well, that's not God. And the big white dog will say, that's God. So you feed in your relationship with God, you're walking in the Spirit, you're doing that. You say, oh, today I feel like I'm really getting somewhere with my relationship with God. And then something happens, you don't know what it is, but like, you feel the rug's been slipped right out in front of you. And it's a bit disconcerting, isn't it? It feels like you're in a tug of war. Does anybody relate to that? It feels like you're being pulled two ways. It feels like you're part saint, because you know that you've got God, because you've become a Christian, and you're part sinner, because you keep sinning. It feels like you're part light, you've got light on the inside of you, but you're part darkness. You're part new, and you're part old. Last week we did talk about the new species, and we said it's as different as being a pig and now a cow. Remember we talked about that in our thinking, that's how much we have to identify the change on the inside of us. But sometimes it feels like you're part pig and part cow. It's very confusing. It feels like we live in part of the truth. Yes? Is that what the Bible says? This is what the Bible says. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Does that imply we're part anything? No. However, you are not in the flesh. This is the really important bit in there. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Does it say we're part flesh and part spirit? No, it says we were in the flesh, but now we are in the spirit. If indeed the Son of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Does this imply we're halfy-halfy? No. Ephesians 5:8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So, this is the truth. Somewhere in our thinking, there's a problem. And that's what we need to get revelation of, is we are not in a tug of war. We are not part this, part that. We have been transferred, transformed. We have become a completely new person on the inside of us. And we need to get our thinking in line with what's happened in our spirit in order for us to live victoriously. The person I was before God is extinct. Dead. Crucified with Christ. That's what the Bible says. So the person I am now, after I know Jesus, did not exist before. New person, new creation. And this is really important. I need two glamorous assistants, please. Let all rush at once. Graham. This is really... I'll be the other glamorous assistant then. Have a book. Right, what happens is this is Graham before he knows Jesus. At salvation, he does not get a new nature and Jesus to add to the old Graham. What happens is, this was Graham. He meets Jesus. That's Graham. We don't get the old added to the new. We become, thank you, Graham's assistant. We become new. And this is the area that the enemy robs us about. Because if he can lie to us and tell him you're just the same, but now you've got Jesus, you're just the same, but now you're a Christian, then we're going to struggle living as Jesus wants us to live and as he equips us to live. So it's really important that we get this revelation on the inside of us. Because we live how we believe. Oh, there's another one. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things, new things have come. Okay? So it's really important that we understand this. Now, there are some really big words that I'm going to explain that we need to understand the meaning of. You won't see these words every day, but actually they are really important. Justification. It's a word in the Bible. It means God's work of atonement, paying for our sins. Now what we know is that sin needed paying for. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God just couldn't overlook sin just because he was feeling happy. He had to deal with the effect of sin, and he did that with Jesus. Jesus paid the price for us, and that's what atonement means, paying for our sins. So Jesus did it. He was found guilty on my behalf. He paid the price. He took my place. Justification means just as if I had never sinned. Now, what we need to understand is when you know Jesus, if you've become a Christian, when God looks at you, do you know how he sees you? Just as if you've never sinned. Because Jesus paid the price. Jesus took it all. And for so many of us, we think God looks at us and sees us as filthy wretches. He doesn't. Why? Because Jesus has already paid the price. So although it's a really long word, what we need to understand is when God looks at me, when God looks at you, it's just as if you've never sinned if you know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, and I suggest you do, and then God will look at you that way as well. It's done. Okay? It's not something that we continually have to do. It's done. Finished. It doesn't change on the inside. Okay? And this is really important. It's an inside change that's done. Sanctification, another big word. This is our process of change to become more like Jesus. And if you look at this word, it says it's a process. It involves changing our attitudes, our behaviour, the way that we speak, everything about us, leaving behind how we have learnt to be, shaped by the world, shaped by our upbringing, shaped by all the things that have happened to us. Again, not a magic wand, but God wants to work with us in that to bring us into sanctification. It's embracing what it means to be a child of God, chosen, precious, forgiven, accepted, no condemnation, joint heir with Jesus, all the things that we looked at last week. And it's an outside change. So justification is something that's done, it's on the inside, finished. Sanctification is our process of walking with Jesus, walking with God through our lives to become more like Jesus. And that's our part. Okay? Old nature. Nature before God, in darkness, in sin, alienated from God. That was Graham's book in the beginning. That was Graham. We get given a new nature in Christ. So we were outside of God, and now we're in Christ. That's why we have an inheritance. That's where our identity is. It's everything that Jesus was, we are, because we are now in Christ. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. So you don't get an old nature to add to your new one, you get a new divine nature. That's the nature of Jesus. That's who we become. That's who we are. Our old self, that's who we were before God. We know that our old self, our human nature without the Holy Spirit, was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. That's the part of us that dies at salvation. We said, don't want that anymore. Not that person anymore. Crucified with Christ, but we need to choose to deny ourselves daily and reckon ourselves dead to sin. Okay? That's my part. Every day I say, I'm not that person anymore. I don't want to be that person. I'm going to walk today. I'm going to walk with Jesus. New self, this is you under the influence of your new nature in Christ. It's the new you. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new spiritual self who is being continually renewed in true knowledge in the image of him who created the new self. That's Jesus. Flesh. Now, this term here, the flesh, I don't know if you've ever heard of this term before, it's the tendency in each of us to live independently from God and focus our interests on ourselves. Before you know Jesus, you've got no choice but to be independent from God because we're separated from him. So everything we do is selfish, it's focused on ourselves, we look after ourselves. Now, we have a choice. But it's not always easy not to be self-centered, not to focus on myself, not to put myself first. It's not always easy because the flesh is the tendency. You've been in the supermarket and you've got your trolley. And you're pushing your trolley and you want to go over here. What does your trolley do? It's got a mind of its own, doesn't it, supermarket trolleys? They just automatically go one way to the chocolate. But sometimes you're pushing a trolley and it has a bent, it has a leaning. And that's what our flesh is. It's a leaning to focus on myself rather than focusing on God. sin, living independently from God. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve, they chose independence. They chose not to do what God said, but to do things their own way. Happened first with Adam and Eve, and now we've all been affected about it as we're separated from God. So outside of our relationship with God, we are sinners. At salvation, the power of sin is broken over us, and we are now reconciled with God, so we are no longer independent. We're new creations who are in Christ. Unfortunately, the appeal of sin is often still there. So although there are things that have happened on the inside of us, which are done, they're finished, we live in a world where the flesh will pull us a certain way and where sin is still here. So on this journey, we need to take hold of these truths in order that we can be victorious and we can live the way that we want to live. So we can walk in the Spirit, which is walking God's way. And now we're no longer in the flesh because we've been taken out of that, but we can walk according to it. So we have a choice every minute of every day. Am I going to walk God's way or am I going to walk my own way? And that's the nature that we often feel that we're in this battle. But actually the battle has already been won. But everything starts with a decision and that's our part in it. If you think back this week and think of something that's gone wrong and you peel it right back, it'll have started with a wrong decision. And that's where we need to acknowledge and recognise that we're submitting ourselves to God. It could be you got angry, it could be you did something you didn't want to do. No matter what it is, you could be told a lie, whatever. If you peel it right back to its essence, it'll have been a wrong decision. And what we want is to be so in God that those decisions aren't even there. But that takes time, that takes training. And that's our outside change. So, you know, look at... I've got a purple man today. You know, look at three different types of people. So this is a sinner, sad face, hole on the inside because he's disconnected from God. This is how we all start out, away from God. So the Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sins, we're rejected, we're spiritually dead, we're in the kingdom of darkness. It's called the natural man, where we're in the flesh. So we have an old nature, we looked at those words, which is ruled by sin. Our mind, our will and our emotions, otherwise known as our soul, is independent from God because we're separated from God. We've got no choice but to operate independently from God because we're not connected to him. We're separated from him. So our soul needs those things in life that we all need, that we've looked at before. We all need affirmation. We all need acceptance. We all need love. We have nowhere to go for that but to look to others and the world around us to meet those needs. That's just how it is. Happy face. This is somebody who's become a Christian. This is what is ours. Okay, this is actually who we are if we know Jesus. So we're a child of God. On the inside, our spirit has become alive. We've been reconnected with God. So this is a spiritual man. We're in the spirit. We're forgiven and we're accepted. Physical body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. We can come into all the promises of God, which is health for our physical body. We have the new nature of Christ. The new self, that's who you are. And our mind, will, and emotions come under the rule of God, which means peace, joy, all of those things, that's who we are. Okay. Most of us kind of live somewhere in this. We're spiritually alive. We're forgiven. We're children of God. But there are occasions where we don't make right choices. And so instead of being led by the Spirit, we follow our flesh. We follow our desires. We follow our maybe old ways, but we're being independent from God. And what happens then is our mind, our will, and our emotions, our soul, instead of being in peace, is in turmoil because we step out of what we know to be true. So we have a lack of peace. We're Christians. We're saints. We're still new creations, But part of us on our journey, we're not making right choices to walk by the Spirit, but we're walking according to our flesh and our old ways. And what it ends up is, we end up in a little bit of a pickle. So we're still born again. That's never in question, because that's the done bit. So when God looks at you, what does he see? Just as if you've never sinned, because that's done. But our part of it, our harmony, our relationship with God, isn't quite what it could be. And we ended up, and we end up in turmoil. What means is, we won't fulfill our destiny. We won't take hold of the things that we know that God's got for us, because we won't feel worthy. And that's where the lies of the enemy start to come in on top of us and say, who do you think you are? Call yourself a Christian. The Itsy Bitsy Committee has a go in your ear. God wants us to walk with him at all times. Away from God, we had no option but to be independent and to do our own thing, to meet our own needs. But at salvation, we were delivered from that. The power of sin is broken over our lives. Sin is still there. Sin is still all around us. We still have the choices, but we are now able to choose to walk God's way or not. So we were delivered from Satan's rule, but we can still put ourselves under bondage, and we can still be slaves to how we were before. So Romans 6 says, so what do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Well, didn't you realise we packed up and left there for good? This is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. For those of us recently, some of you guys who've recently been baptised, this is fabulous. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father, so we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. Done. A decisive end to what sin miserable life, no longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin conquering death, we also get included in his life saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death is the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks to your mother tongue and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your life. It's down to us now. Jesus has done it. It's settled. But we have some big choices to make. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. But how many people of us do let sin tell us how to live on occasion? But we don't need to, because we've been set free from that. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. I know this is long, but this is really important that we get this on the inside of us. So, since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. We have been set free, but you can soon become a slave again. You can soon get yourself back in prison, in bondage, in your own life. And I'm sure that we all have things where we're vulnerable that we know that we've experienced freedom on. But if we're not careful, we put ourselves right back in slavery again. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. But offer yourself to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives you've let sin tell you what to do, but thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. That's awesome, isn't it? That's who we are. That's our inheritance. But it's so hard for some of us, because up to the point when we've met Jesus, we spent our whole life doing everything ourselves, living in the wounds that we've caused and that other people have caused us. And suddenly we're told we don't have to live like that anymore. It would be amazing, wouldn't it, if we could just press a button and everything would start again. The fact is, on the inside, that's what's happened, but we need to learn to take hold of these truths and live them in our own life. And God has given us the tools to do that. He's given us forgiveness. You know, here we know about lie busting, we know about the court system, we know about deliverance, we know about healing on the inside, we know about physical healing. It's like Nick's testimony was incredible, but what he said was, when I was young, listening to loud music and being on work sites damaged his ears. But God's healed him from it. How incredible. God wants to restore us. He wants to heal us completely in every area, but we need to let him. We need to work with him and let him. So getting rid of our old nature is God's responsibility, and that happened at salvation when you were crucified with Jesus. Now you're in Christ. Done. We need to know it. It's done. Rendering your flesh and sin inoperative is your responsibility by choosing to submit to God and dying to self daily. There's a really good story I heard it many years ago. It was about someone's baptism, and we've just read those scriptures about baptism and how you go down and you leave your old life behind and you're raised up and everything is very wonderful. And there's a story of somebody coming up out of the water feeling absolutely incredible and turning around, and he saw his flesh running behind him saying, wait for me, wait for me. That is it. You know, God's done it. We have to deal with ourselves and our desires and our wants. So God's changed my nature and gave me a new nature. Jesus, God. Oh, that's his voice. Must be important. God changed my nature and gave me a new nature, the nature of Jesus. And that's the inside change. I need to change my behaviour and lifestyle by no longer doing things independently of God. That's the outside change. I will only be able to change the outside, my behaviour, my thoughts, my actions, my attitudes, when I know what's happened on the inside. Because how I live will be based on what I believe. And if I don't believe that all that's absolutely done, finished, new on the inside, I'm not going to be able to live out of that. So how do we do it? Well, we learn God's ways. How does he want us to live? Really, really important that we know our identity. We can do that by meditating on what he says, talking to him, encounters, listening to teaching, being discipled. Do you know, we are so blessed with what God is doing amongst us now that we can step into heaven, that heaven is open to us. When I was young, many, many years ago, I was brought up in quite a religious setting, and even baptism of the Holy Spirit was not a thing that you heard about. It was so hard. It was very religious. We did not have the life that we have now. It's just, even recently, I had the privilege of praying with someone, a very new baby Christian, and stepped into an encounter. And Jesus took this person into the place of her deepest fear and said, don't worry, I'm with you. How blessed are we that we can now do that, that we can encounter Jesus. So we need to make sure that we're pursuing this, because one face-to-face encounter with Jesus can drop something into your spirit and change your life. Like last week for Hazel, when she said God dropped that word safe on the inside of her. That's changed her. It's not trying, it's not striving, it's not trying to believe. Actually, it's an encounter with God that has transformed her from the inside out. And that's what we want to see. So we need to be feeding ourselves, to feed our spirit, to make our spirit bigger so that it grows. Then we need to stop our old ways. We which is retraining ourselves. Again, this is not about trying. This is about surrendering and submitting ourselves to God to say, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? Transformation. Giving God permission to deal with the things that will block you. We all have blockages in our lives. We all have things that hinder us, that get in the way. And communion. Breaking bread. The prayer over there. It's about transformation. It's about on the inside being transformed and letting that work out in our lives. Opening ourselves up to God daily is a good place to start. The only place to start. It's not a one-off thing. It's a daily thing. God lives in us, in our spirit. And when we open our door in our heart, or our first love gate, whenever we do activations, we talk about opening our first love gate. We talk about doing that every day. We're inviting God in to fill every part of us and flow out to affect the world around us. Effect that thing. That's what it's all about. It's not about keeping God on the inside. God is on the inside saying, let me out, let me out. We are to make a difference. And when I deal with my blockages in my life, when I deal with my wounds, when I'm flowing, heaven flows from me and will affect anyone who comes near me. Isn't that what we all want? We all want people to be affected by God flowing out of us. The world around. So our open door gives us access to heaven through our spirit, where all the resources of heaven are ours. We are made up of three parts, body, soul and spirit. When we come to God, we are broken and fragmented. God's heart for us is wholeness and to restore us to what he intended for us in eternity. We need to learn to be spirit-led instead of soul-led, because again, before we come to Jesus, everything about us, we meet our own needs. I'll look to you to meet my needs because I have a need. And now we need to say, God, you meet my needs. And that is the only safe place to be. But we have a physical body with five senses. I'm not going to go into this because I really want to do some stuff on our, simple stuff on our gateways. But we have senses, eyes, ears, mouth, feel, nose. Didn't word those very well, I was thinking about that. Okay, so we relate to the outside world through our physical body, through our five senses. Again, I'm not going to go into them now, but that's what it looks like. We have a soul, which is the part, me, which is made up of our conscience, our imagination, reason, mind, will, emotions, choice. Oh no. This is where I've looked. All of those have needs to be met, are my emotions, my will, the choices I make, the way that I work things out, all have needs, and that's where I have looked to external areas to meet my needs. And I need those to be now focused on God, so God meets my core needs. That's what that looks like. And then we have spirit, which when God comes to fill, that God flows out of us, reverence, faith, hope, worship, revelation, intuition, fear of the Lord, prayer. They're gateways in our spirit which need to flow again to the outside world. And right in the centre is that first love part that we talked about. And that's where God flows from us outwards. So learning to live God's way is a process, and it's really important to remember that God loves you unconditionally, even when you get it wrong. God cannot love you anymore. He loved you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you. That's really important to know and to understand on the inside, even when we mess up. Because when God looks at us, what does he see? Just as if you've never sinned, he sees us through Jesus. He's already forgiven us. And that's really key, because so often we try and beat ourselves up when we get it wrong, because we live in condemnation, we live in guilt. We live in shame. Are they from God? No, they're not. Conviction is from God. Conviction of the Holy Spirit is if you're slightly going off track, God will nudge you. He will convict you and he will say, come back, come back. Condemnation, guilt and shame is always from the enemy, because it says you are terrible, you're useless, you're worthless. and the aim of it is to bring you into death. So it's really important, if nothing else today, you need to understand God's love for us is unconditional. But our relationship can be more intimate or not, depending what's going on in our lives. You can't be in an intimate relationship with God if you're deliberately doing something that you know is not right. It's against what God says, because the enemy will have access to you to bring guilt, condemnation and shame. So we need to work with God in that process. How do we know we're not walking right? We lose our peace. If you're walking with God, peace is your inheritance on the inside. And if you start to lose it, you can think, what's not quite right here, because our emotions get in turmoil. And we start reacting in old ways, reverting to old behaviours and coping mechanisms. Fear, insecurity, guilt, blah, 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 blah. Whatever it is that is vulnerable to you, you'll start reverting to. So which inheritance are we living in? Are you living as a product of your past or a product of what Jesus did on the cross? And again, it's a really good little phrase to remind you. Am I living as a product of my past, or am I living as a product of what Jesus did on the cross? Conflict comes when we know what is right and we don't live it. Harmony and intimacy of relationship changes, but not the fact that you're a child of God. We struggle with the behaviour aspect of our growth because we struggle with the belief aspect, which is why it's so important that we have the truth deep down on the inside of us. We live how we believe. When I was growing up, I just said, you know, I didn't have the life that we have now. It just was different. We didn't have the revelation, and my upbringing was very religious. And I was the worst Christian ever, because I would be convicted on a Sunday when I went to church, and I would spend all morning repenting for my terrible lifestyle and promising God that I would never do the sins that I'd done again until Monday morning, when it would all start again, because I just didn't have that basis of identity deep down on the inside of me. We did not have communion like we have it here, which is life, which is transformation, which is taking hold of what Jesus has done and applying it and being transformed in the DNA of God. It was a very religious thing, and it was, you remembered what Jesus did and you felt bad for making him die for you. And I can remember pinching myself to make myself cry, because when I looked around, everybody was crying. And I literally pinched myself. Religious slavery. God has set us free from that. Free, we are in God's grace. We don't have to live like that. Life in abundance is what he has for us. It's an incredible time that we're in. But my biggest problem was me and is me. Your biggest problem will be you and how you see this stuff. So I need to live as if I've got the Holy Spirit in me. I need to live as if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in me. I need to live as if I am God's child. The Bible says I'm seated in heavenly places with Jesus. What does that mean? That means all the resources of heaven are mine. That means I have a throne. That means I rule. That means I have government. That means I don't need to be defeated. I don't need to be in fear, because I am an overcomer. But if I don't live like that, what's the point of having it? So we need to take hold of this identity. Galatians 5:16-18. My counsel is this: live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness, for there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with the free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are, and I don't know what that says, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way, according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? For many years, I lived how I felt. I was completely ruled by my emotions. So if I felt something, then that's how I would live. We have to learn to choose to live by the Spirit, regardless of how we feel, because our emotions can lie. because our emotions are often a result of wounds and hurts and things that we have been through. It's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all consuming yet never satisfied once, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly paradox of community. I could go on. We've all been there. That might sound a bit extreme, but actually, we've all been there. We don't need to be there anymore. We just need to choose to walk God's way. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Isn't that amazing? This is what God has got for us. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin-miserable life, no longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in His life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, He took sin down with Him. But alive, He brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. What we're going to do is we're going to step into heaven together. And if there are things that you've been struggled with, that you have not said, not had the revelation, actually, I don't need to be like that anymore. I am not that person. Let's just give them to Jesus. Let's just have that encounter where we can say, enough already. This is who I am now. This is what I embrace. This is who God has called me to be. So let's just close our eyes. If God does something with you, please don't have to bear with me on this. You can just go and do whatever God does. But I'm just going to lead us in this encounter. So close your eyes and focus on the screen of your imagination. You may see some steps leading from earth all the way into heaven. Walk up the steps and see Jesus standing in the doorway. By walking through the doorway, you actually walk through the cross of Jesus. And you can exchange all of your old stuff for totally new things that Jesus offers you. The things that you have been carrying, which you now realize are not yours to carry. Look at Jesus and give Him any guilt and receive His forgiveness. Give Him your weaknesses, those things that you've been trying to do in your own strength. Those areas where you've still been walking independently, where He wants you to submit them to Him and receive His strength. Give Jesus all the old stuff. All the things that you've accepted as just being you. This is just the way I am. It's time to let it go. Allow Jesus to take you by the hand and lead you to the river of life, living water that comes from the throne in heaven. Step into it. Feel that living life flow through you, bringing truth and revelation of how God sees you, of how He feels about you. And let Him speak directly into your spirit, into your heart.